Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge the Hodge Podcast Radio, with our podcast tonight, The Messenger. The Messenger podcast is a podcast that's designed to engage you in conversation and enlighten your thought process so that you wake up and realize that what you've been looking for all this time, you already had. Hey, good evening, Cass. And as always, I got my right hand, my big brother, the messenger, with me tonight. How you doing, big brother?
I'm blessed, my brother. Bless you.
All right, sounding good, bro. How you doing, Nurse Carmen?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. All right, so Nurse Carmen's good. The messenger's good. How they say? Well, let's start the show. Let's start this show. I'll turn the mic over to you, Brother Messi. Go ahead and get your thing.
Well, today we just want I just want to reiterate because of his goodness and his kindness and his grace and his mercy, just want to just talk. And what one of the things I wanted to do is talk about just how good he is. And I'm always telling everybody how good he is to me. But just to the audience, to Nurse Carmen, to Brother Hodge, just explain to people just how good he really is. Some of the manifestations
that he has
done for you that you can witness to, that people can see, truly blessed, and that you're aware of his blessings, because so many people over the course of their days and nights, they just seem to let it go unnoticed. And what we have to do so that we can begin to understand and see who and know who we really are, we've got to be able to call it for what it's worth. And the reason I say that is I know I can, as you know, I can go on and on and on talking about his goodness. But I just threw out our messages that we've been given to folks. Just has anyone tried him to see if what we're saying, if God has given his approval to it, or do you feel as if you don't see anything, any changes, you're not recognizing something? Just so that we can better equip ourselves to be able to bring out a different type or a different way or something that can help you get in tune with God. Because it's a beautiful thing to sit here and listen to me speak about his goodness. But in order for us to truly understand it, we have to start experiencing it for ourselves, and not because of anything that I said, but because of what you can see and feel God doing in your life each and every day.
Well, I'll jump on board here and start that off with, I definitely feel it. And I say, like, I'm going to take a line from a movie, American Gangster, when Denzel Washington's mom told him, no matter what you did, your brothers would have followed. So I would have followed you because you're my big brother, and I know harming me or harming you ain't in the cards. So I would have followed you anyway. But as I began to get on this journey and start to share and talk more and open up more to it, it just makes too much sense. I'm going to shed all shackles of religion. I'm going to shed all shackles of having to give my money to a minister. I'm going to shed all shackles of, if I'm not in church 3 days a week, the minister calling me, asking me what's wrong. I'm going to shed all of that. And in return, what I'm getting is a more dynamic experience every day, because as I realize and continually remind myself that I am He. He is I. He is within me. And sometimes just knowing that, it can make you cocky. Because sometimes, you know, just knowing you bought, you like the Cleveland Cavaliers. You bought the best player to the game, so you expect to win. And so, you know, so,
that's
so
right.
It definitely empowered me to think that there is no weapon formed against me. You can't say words or you can't do deeds. That's going to damage me. It may impress some for some time, but in the end result, I'm confident, man, that it's going to be right. So it's an everyday ministry, man. And again, those who know me closer know that, again, this isn't I'm still Kenny Hodge. Don't get me wrong. I still am the person that I am, but I feel like I'm more empowered, more enlightened now, because I realize that what I do has a direct effect to God, not on God, to God.
Yes, sir. And that's important. What you said is so important, and I think this is what scares people a lot as well, is because they think that it's going to change them from being who they really are. And what God is trying to tell us is, no, that is what He wants you to be, because that's what He created you to be. He created you so that you can be who you really are. But people are afraid that if they really get in tune with God, that they got to walk around quoting scriptures. They can't, you know what I mean? They can't see anything for what it really is, because they've got to always take something to a higher level. And what I mean by that is, sometimes people do some things that are pretty silly, and we have to accept that. We just can't sit back and judge, per se, or think that we're so much better. You know what I mean? But if it stinks, it stinks. There's nothing you can do about changing something that stinks. And so you acknowledge it, but you move on. And this is the problem that I think that some people have, because of the different religions and stuff, have you to turn your nose up against stuff and have you rebuking all kinds of things. This is what I feel that the people are afraid of, to really get in tune with God, because then they think that they can't be the fake person that they really are, because they're not really being themselves, because everything – not everything, but the majority of the things that they do, they're doing it to please somebody else and not them. Because I know, without a shadow of a doubt, there are some people that get up Sunday morning that would rather go somewhere else. Rather than church, they would rather go. And I'm not saying you can't go to church, but if you're being you and you decide you don't want to go today, then shouldn't you be able to not go? And not going, shouldn't that not make you feel as if you might have entered hell because you missed a Sunday at church?
See, I know people who definitely feel like that. I didn't go to church, so my whole week can't be right. You know, shame on you. Shame on you. I didn't go to church, so everything I try to do today, it's not going to be all right, because, you know, again, we are so used to understanding that God is a vindictive individual. If you don't do this for me, I'm going to get you. And that's what it sounds like. I'm going to get you. You want me to get you? You better give me that 10%. I'm going to get you. You better come in here twice a week and jump around here like you happy. Or I'm going to get you. And that whole I'm going to get you thing, you know, and again, it's got us looking at God like he's man, because we do that vindictive, spiteful things. So now we want to make it a God thing.
And we've conditioned ourselves to condemn ourselves, actually, because those people that feel as if their week isn't going to go right because they didn't go to church on Sunday, they condemn their own selves for that. Not God. Do you think God is really watching over everybody to make sure that they get up? Okay, so if God is watching over everybody to make sure they get up on Sunday and go to church, how about the people that go on Saturday? Or are we saying that, okay, God, just
that's
as long as you
God.
Go.
That's
a different
God.
One God requires a Sunday, the other requires a Saturday.
Then we have one that requires you pray to him 5 times a day. Then we have one that requires that you fast so that you feel poor and you feel underprivileged, and that brings you back in touch with your true self. And the whole concept behind that is you want me to believe that Almighty God wants me to fast and be hungry? Why? Because when you're hungry, that's all you can think about. Your mind is clear. Well, I mean, now don't get me wrong, because it's all concepts. Well, again, I happen to believe that when I'm hungry, the most important thing to me is getting me some food. So therefore, if I'm really hungry, if I'm really starving, correct me if I'm wrong, praising ain't really close to my lips right now. But if I'm really hungry, again, and I don't want to bring Maslow into this because he's much after God, Maslow tells me I can't do anything until I satisfy that need. And that just makes sense, and I don't even have to bring Maslow into this. If I'm starving, and again, when you fast for days and you drink water and all you do is pray. See, those are those ritualistic things that I think people do or say because it makes them think they've done some outstanding thing. But that just don't make sense. If God bless you with food, why would you starve yourself? Maybe instead of starving yourself, why don't you go give some of that food away, share the food. That might take the place of starving yourself, because I'm sure the Creator will be just as happy.
Well, let me just break down fasting for you. Because with fasting, you are to fast, but and what fasting does is it helps clear your mind. But once again, we've got to understand and take it to the correct being. And when you fast, you're not fasting until starvation, because that's just not intelligent. I got to starve myself to get in touch with God. But with fasting, what it does is it takes your mind off of everything. And then what you're really doing when you're fasting is technically meditation. That's what it is. It's meditation, clearing your mind so that – because when you got nothing else on your mind, if there's nothing there, what is there?
God.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Yes, indeed. When there is nothing else there, there is God, because God is everywhere, all things. So when you can clear your mind of all the earthly things and have it become kind of like a blank scale, then you can get in tune with God. So that's what the fasting per se is. Now, people like to take it to a whole nother level. They go on 7, 8, 9 days fasting. That's not necessary. If I went into meditation with God right now and I had communion with God today, do I really need to fast tomorrow? Do I need to fast the next day? And once you do this on a regular basis, fasting isn't even really necessary. Fasting is technically for those beginners that are trying to work to clear their mind, and it all goes back to the meditation process. When you clear your mind of all the earthly things and stuff and just focus on God, that's
when
you can come in.
That sounds very easy when you say when you clear your mind. And again, and I know that's why people who meditate, you practice on meditation. And that's a process.
That's right.
Because you have to go through the I'm hungry and the only thing on my mind is food. You're gonna have to hit that wall, and then your body adjusts and lets you know, okay, you know, well, you don't just need food. Or in fact, you just ate yesterday, or you ate 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, I can sustain this. This is what your body's saying to you.
Right.
And when you reach that, now that I understand the body is taking care of itself without me putting nutrients inside of it again for whatever period of time. I can think about something else, but to be able to get just to that point is not a quick process.
That's correct.
Yeah. The only reason why I say that is you may listen to the podcast. You may hear Brother Messenger talking about fasting and what it does, and you may try that. And the first time you try it, you may do it for a day and realize, I can't do that. So I want to say that to you. It's a process, so you don't dismiss the ministry because you tried it for a day and it didn't work for you.
Uh-huh.
If you're used to eating 2 solid meals, 2 meals a day, the first day you don't have those 2 meals, it is not going to be comfortable for you. I don't care if you're used to eating 1 meal or 100 meals. When you go a day without eating whatever it is you eat, it's not going to be comfortable. And then you have to really focus on, controlling your body functions. Go ahead, sir.
No, you're correct. And not only your body functions, it's more of the mind. Because we've got to understand that this body, I mean, we put so much emphasis on it, but it is just a tabernacle for the Spirit of God. Now, it has its place, and so I'm not trying to discard the body, but it's about the mind. And I don't mean the brain per se. It's the mind, the spiritual mind within you needs to be wakened. There is a song that says, "Stir up the gift in me," and that gift in me is the Spirit of God. And so what we have to do, because we have to understand that God is not forcing himself on anyone. I am here. All you got to do is knock and I'll come in. Because the Spirit is within us. All we have to do is ask for it. And I don't mean God speak to me and then count to 10 and he don't speak to you, then you gone. That's because God knows you're not serious about it. But when you get serious about it, he will speak to you. He's standing there waiting for us to come to the realization of who we are. And because of all that we've been through throughout our lives, it isn't a 1, 2, 3 thing. It's only a 1, 2, 3 thing if we make up in our mind that it's a 1, 2, 3 thing. So,
hey, Brother Messenger, are you on your headset or are you on your phone?
I'm on my phone because I wasn't getting a good internet connection tonight.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and kill the other one because I'm getting the feedback. Okay, you still there?
I just killed it.
Okay, that's better. That's a lot better. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. And that's what we've got to understand. It's all a process. I'm sorry if I gave the illusion that all you got to do is close your eyes and talk to God and everything is just right. No, because we've got to get rid of, as Brother Paul said, we have to renew our minds because our minds have been trained in a certain way and we have to go in and reprogram our minds. Back again to the Matrix. If anybody's seen the Matrix, that's what it's about. We have to reprogram our minds so that we can begin to think accordingly.
Amen, bro. Amen. And again, it is definitely a process that we have to go through. And again, and we can only get there if we dedicate ourselves to say, I want to get there. And if right. I want to mm-hmm. get there, then I will get there, because you have to understand, it's not, I mean, again, we start talking, I know a lot of times we say the road is easy, and it is easy. But again, as we start to condition ourselves for better commune with God, again, there's some things that we have to, I don't know if it's things you have to do, because I don't want to sound like we're organized. But, you know, when we talk about meditation, but let me ask you this, my brother, can I commune with the Creator without meditating? Can I talk to God without meditating?
You can talk to God without meditating. The problem is without meditation. Once again, as we said, it's a process. So you can talk to God, but you're not as in tuned as you should be. And what I mean by that is, when you're talking to God, God is talking back to us, but because we're not in tune, we seem to think that it's everything else. People like to say sometimes it's the devil, or it's just your mind playing tricks on you and stuff. But when you start to meditate, there is no doubt. So there is that direct connect, per se. And when you can talk to God daily, and as you talk to God daily, and the sincereness of your request starts to come through, then it'll be the same. You understand what I mean? So meditation Amen. Is just a more peaceful way of getting in tune. It's a more peaceful way. But you can meet with God any kind of way. He's there. There's no just one way to commune with God.
So then meditation.
That's what's important.
So meditation is a good way, but it ain't the only way.
It's not the only way, no.
But you're saying if I meditate and block it all out, I have a better conversation?
It's kind of like it's not that you'll have a better conversation. Well, you'll have a better conversation only because you can see and hear what it's saying more clearly to you. And what I mean by that is, sometimes you can talk to God right now, and what happens is God puts things in your spirit, but you don't truly recognize it till somebody else come along and say the same thing as a confirmation for you. You understand what I'm saying? Like for instance, there's been many times we've had conversations and I've said something and you just started laughing because it just corresponded with just what it was that you was in communion about with God. But now when you go into that meditation, that just comes to you plain as day. And a lot of times what happens is we're in meditation sometime and we don't even know it.
Amen, brother.
Because Jesus said you have to love God with your mind, body, and soul. With all thy heart, thy mind, thy body, thy soul. Love the Lord. And when you do that, that means that you're giving it all to him. You surrendered all that other stuff and you're pouring yourself out before him. And that's a difference between just saying a whole bunch of stuff out. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? There is some things we do and we really do it for show. We don't do it with the true sincereness, or we don't do it with the true belief that it is what it is. And so the preacher told me to go home and pray. And so I think I got to go home and I got to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We have to say all of that. And we think that that's communion with God. That's a prayer to God. But God is within you. So because he's within you, you can truly talk to God any way that you feel comfortable. And that's why a couple times we've had on the show where I said, where you've said some words and you thought that it was, oh, my bad, I shouldn't have said it. What word is it that God, who is everywhere and everything, hasn't heard? And why do we think God is such a petty thing, a petty person, that that word would offend him?
That's true. That is
because,
true.
Because if, and this is what, here's the thing that's so important. God is everything. So because God is everything, he's even that curse word. We have to understand that we can only accept God in one way. And we have to understand that God is always, not just one way, he's always. That's why we can't hold on to the belief that he's only coming for the Christians. He's not. Because who we all are, we are all his.
See, if we believe that he's only coming for the Christians, see, that goes back to the old Bible story that God sent Jesus here for the Jews, for the Jewish people. No disrespect intended by saying Jews, but the story goes God sent Jesus here for them. Forget everybody else. He came for the Jews. And because he had power equal and greater to what the Sanhedrins had, they didn't want to have no part of him. So, again, here we go. God sent you here for the Jews, but that didn't work. So now everybody gets to have you. And I say it again.
Right. So,
God created you with an immaculate birth, gave you all that superpower. But the Jews had the ability to just say, no, you, we don't want you. So now God goes to plan
exactly.
B. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Come on,
right.
Folks.
So
we have to, again, you have to hear stuff like that and understand. I mean, I know we tell it in a Bible story, and I know we like to say, you know, again, and as a primitive Baptist, Church of God in Christ, and all them other titles that I tried to be a part of, not a real good part, but I tried to be a part of it, lets you believe that. And then you stop and you think, rather than thinking, wow, so if, watch this, if God's plan would have worked, yeah, once I got to say that again, man. If God's plan would have worked, the Jewish people would have had super salvation, and the rest of us, what? I'm just trying to figure that part out now. So God was going to give up on all this just so he could save the Jewish people.
Just so you're right.
I mean, because again,
here,
that's the story. That ain't my story now. That's the story.
That's correct. Right. Yeah. And if you listen to the different stories that are told, we have to understand that God ain't really a good God. If you listen to the story, because first of all, he can't get nothing right. From the very beginning, he was messing up. If you believe the stories, because he created man, then all of a sudden man did what God didn't want him to do. That's the first mess up that he did. And going and throughout the years, all he did was try to correct stuff and could never get it right. So that means we have more power than God had. We had more power because we were able to rebuke whatever it is that he had ordained or made us to do. We was able to rebuke that and do whatever we wanted to do, and God still can't get it right. He thought he loved us so much that he sent his son to try to straighten us out, and he still couldn't get it right. And
yeah,
a lot
I mean, again,
of these people that
if you break the stories down to what they are actually telling you, that's the message. But we're gonna keep on. There's no more additions to the Bible. But we're gonna keep on trying to go by this book that hasn't. I mean, again, because every day ain't hidey hidey. You know, every day these streets ain't paid the gold down here. So we're gonna stay with the roadmap that has not proven successful.
Well,
that's
see,
not proven
and,
anything.
And part of, right, part of the problem is because of the fact that they think that it's not about this world. If it's not about this world, why did God put us in it? Because it has something to do with this world. God created us for a reason, so that he could feel and be the God that he is through us. God couldn't feel and realize how magnificent and wonderful he was if it was just him. So in order for God the Spirit to be magnificent, he had to experience it. And this is how God experiences it, through us. And this is why we should not judge anyone, because each path that a man takes, that path is a path that that man has chosen, and is just an experience of God being God. And so, this is why we have that same opportunity to experience whatever it is that we want to experience, to do what we want to do. And it's not anything that's going to offend God. Actually, what you're doing is you're glorifying God, because you're allowing God to be God. But if all you do is wake up and go to church and read the 66 books and that's all you do, how will you experience life and more abundantly that God has given you? And how can he give you free will and give you free will, but then tell you this is what you got to do? Where's the free will in that?
I think that folks get that free will confused with the ability to make decisions or make choices. So again, if it's already predestined, if we continue down the street that keeps saying that God didn't do something right and he's going to do it over again, this is why to this day they still teach and they still want you to believe. How the song go? It's going to rain. Watch it. He coming back, but it won't be water, but what?
Fire.
You remember the word?
Fire
next time. And so in other words, he's already decided that he ain't getting this right. So I'm going to let y'all have a couple hundred thousand years. I'm going to burn this up.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and we believe this. Now, I can understand as a child, as Paul said, when I was a child, I act as a child. But now that I am an adult and God has given me senses to understand wisdom and knowledge, and he also gave each and every one of us discernment, the spirit of discernment. And we can't discern that some of this stuff makes no sense when we're talking about God. How can he be the everything, the creator, the loving, the kind? And they say God is not like man. He can't lie. God is infallible. He can't make a mistake. But all we do is label or write out different mistakes that he made in the Bible.
And, you know, when you say about judging people, it's just so funny. And like I said, we're not going to turn into a ministry where things just come. We just shout things out. But that's what just hit me. When you were talking about judging people, and then you went right into the Apostle Paul. Now, he was one of the great disciples, correct?
So they say, yeah.
Where did he spend most of his time?
He spent most of his time persecuting them, didn't he? Because he was a tax collector.
You're talking about after. Because most of his, after he was Saul. What was it, Saul or Paul, or Paul or Saul? After the traumatic event on the road to Damascus.
On the road to Damascus.
After that, he spent a lot of, all the letters he wrote was to the church. Well, he was in jail. I only said that to say we look at people who are incarcerated like they lepers. But yet, again, here we go. Jesus made man stayed in jail. That's all I'm
that's
saying.
Right.
When we stop and when we just break this down for what it really is, you know, a different life lesson, so to speak.
And you're correct, and that's part of the example that I say that as religions, we're living a false life. We're living a life told by storytellers many, 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 many years ago, and we are still living that life. They've left examples for us, and we've taken those examples and made them the gospel, which is crazy.
Well, so we've taken those examples, and we have embellished on them to such a degree that we have universities, we have schools where you get your you get your license for that. You get degrees for that. And what could be more counter? If you again, you get a degree in a book that nobody in the book that was close to the star of the book ever went to school that the book talk about. The only reason why I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? So where do we get that from? What verse did somebody twist that said we now have to start having universities? And again, one man's vision is taught in a university. So you leave there. Again, if he was wrong, you got a degree in seminary, and that might be wrong also.
That's
and
correct.
Then you have so many of them. Again, the only one of Jesus' disciples, and I mean, I always stand to be corrected, that was or one of his people was Moses, right? And only reason, what's this? Wow. The only reason Moses was that educated is because he was with Pharaoh. So if I read the story again, those are the do-gooders who educate people, but yet we have the do-batters, excuse me, because Pharaoh had his people enslaved. That's where Moses got educated. Now, once Moses left Pharaoh and realized who he was, his true calling, you don't hear no more about Moses going to school. So I'm just saying, so if that ain't a reason, I don't know why I got on this tangent about seminary schools, but I just, again, just I'm gonna have to give them a gas face.
All right, but that's, think about it. When Jesus went looking for his disciples, where did he go?
I don't remember.
He went down by the shore and he grabbed up fishermen.
Oh, you mean when he was putting his team together?
When he was putting his team together, right. He went
and got
fishermen. And fishermen in that time was kind of like the dumbest people. All they did was got out on a boat, threw a net, and whatever came back in, that was what they caught. That's what they caught. Because you got to understand that this knowledge, they can't teach you in a book. It's in you already. You just have to allow God to use you to bring it out.
That was the point I was trying to make. Yeah,
I understand. I know. And what they do, because once again, these religions are become a business. So these schools, what they really teach you is how to present the sermon to the people to keep them engaged, to keep them there. That's what they teach you.
So if God gave you, from our days, how you became a minister, you went home, you went to bed, you woke up the next morning and you began to tell people that God called you into ministry. Boom, you're a minister. You preach your trial sermon. You know, maybe you get a church. I'm just saying. Now,
right.
In the primitive Baptist, that was it. Now, in Catholicism, there's a whole lot more involved. It's like about, I think you say it. No, I don't think you ever say God called you. You say you're just going to dedicate to God.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, again, just a little different verbiage there. And then you go to school and you take all these tests, you know what I'm saying? And then we find out, if you're smart enough, to grasp the material we're going to give you. Because there's entrance exams, I'm sure. I'm just saying, it's just a big scam. Yeah, big scam. And the benefit now is once you graduate from one of those seminary schools, Old Roberts, Rob Parsley, I mean, all the big name guys. You know, all the big name guys got their schools. You know what I'm saying? They got their schools. So depending on whose school you graduate from will determine what size church you may get the first or second time out.
That's correct. That technically, it determines your salary.
That's what it's going to do.
That's what it determines, your salary.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, that same person that they're trying to emulate, they're trying to emulate him so much that they named the religion after him. He never talked about money for himself.
And he never talked about school. Watch this.
He never talked about a building.
But, and this is what they say.
Every time he went to a church, he was telling them how messed up they was.
Wow.
But now they got churches all over in his name. Doing the exact same thing.
People who are born with gifts, you ever notice how little they have to do to make that gift flourish?
That's right. That's correct.
Like, don't get me wrong now. LeBron James played basketball every day, and I know he practiced, but practice don't get you there. I bet you there was other people who practiced with him. You know what I'm saying? That was doing everything he was doing, but they didn't have that gift that he had. So if I have that gift, again, I don't have to go and go to school to learn how to use that gift.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing that we have to understand. And one of the things we have to truly understand is that we are all called by God because of who we are. We all have a message for somebody. And you can go to sleep tonight and God can give you a word and he can tell you that he might want you to preach. But he wants you to preach what it is that he's telling you and not so much the 66 books. I'm not saying that you won't preach something out of there. But
hey,
you know what sermon you know. Yes.
I'm sorry, you keep saying 66 books. That's how many books in the Bible?
And yeah, in the New and the Old Testament together, 66 books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, just because you keep saying that, I never really gave that any thought. If I add one more six to that, then what did I just do? I'm just throwing numbers at you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to have...
Yeah, well, you add one more number, then you eat.
Huh?
And you add one more number, then you're equaling that other fake thing that they made up.
Because everybody know what 666. I mean, you know, through the nonsense we've been taught, everybody know what 666 represent. That's the mark of the beast. You know, I mean, so but the Bible got 66. Okay, so if you two sixes, you hold it in thou. But boy, if you add one more six, you just go all the way off.
Right. You go from holy to the worst.
Watch this. You go from holy to holy, holy crap.
Yeah, holy hell. Yeah, you just said, brother, holy. You go from holy to holy hell. Right. That's what you do.
And again, just looking at things. Okay? Just looking at things. And you know, and again, that's what this ministry does. And I like to keep saying that, the Bible is filled, again, of allegory. The Bible is filled with nice stories that I think that for years we have gone on a determined mission to misinterpret. And right now it's probably, we have to just let that book go if you really wanted to get close to God. You could probably be better off without looking in that book anymore.
That's correct.
I'm sure that's going to hurt sales. And then the ministers will probably have something else to sell during Sunday mornings so that you can follow what they're talking about. But for the most part, this book is going to keep you confused and it's going to stop you. Again, because even now, I don't – and when I say get rid of the book, I don't mean get rid of the book. Get rid of the book for what it stands for. It is still probably the best reading you're going to ever have. You know, but now I read with a different purpose or a different sense.
That's correct.
But I'm still going to read it.
That's correct.
Because, again, it's comforting.
Correct.
It's poetry at its best. You start getting into First and Second Samuel, you could probably take a couple of those verses and put them in some Hallmark cards.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because, again, they're that poetic and that with that level of sensuality to it. So I'm not saying get rid of the book. I'm just saying let's change our idea of the book, and let's understand that this Holy Bible that we call is not the inestimable gift from God to man. It's a book of stories put together from man about a God they think. And in most cases, the writers of the book probably knew that they were just making this up as they go along. You know,
I would have to agree with you on that. And one of the things you've got to understand, too, is the writers of the book, when they were writing from a story that was passed down to them 300-500 years earlier.
Yeah. Very important. And again, I know, and to those folks who just refuse to hear anything else, and watch this. This is, and I hate really trying to quote a scripture without giving you the book and the verse, but I'm not going to quote it, but I know there's a section in the Bible that tells you you can't eat off of two plates or two tables. You're trying to say you can't study, you can't serve two masters.
Right.
So
thou can't serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other.
So what that is that's that buffer. So when people like the messenger come along giving you true doctrine, well, the book that you banked your life on already told you, hey, watch out for that. I can't even listen to you on that because this book has got me trained that I can't serve two masters. And if I'm listening to you about another way to get to God, then I'm going against what my pastor or my Bible tells me, and that's just not going to work with 80% of those folks that think that they are devout Christians. And when I say devout Christians, the Christian is one who supposed, now again, and I might be wrong, who's supposed to have made the commitment to live as Christ did. That's where the Christian
that's
comes
correct.
From. Am I correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
that's
but
correct.
We do the things that Christ did that showed love and compassion, we do not.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about when I said, that's what I meant when I said we're still living a lie. Because we're,
yes, we
even
are.
With the Bible, what the Bible tells you to do, they're not doing it. They might do one of seven things, but they go into heaven because they did one of the seven things. And it just doesn't work like that. They constantly want, and there's a scripture in the Bible that also says that, just as you said, I can't remember the exact passage of it, but it says that don't let a man add or take away anything from this book, and the rest he'll set in order when he come. So if somebody comes saying anything different, then it's got to be wrong because it's got to coincide with this book. And anything else other than that will be set in order when Jesus comes back, when God comes back.
That's because, again, when I put the hustle in play, I knew that there's going to be some who try to rise up against the hustle. So, again, I have to keep infusing that throughout this book that I'm going to give you as your study guide. Again, because this hustle will allow me to keep people enslaved. I wrote that in the book. Yeah, I know. I could see the danger and the treachery that was about to ensue. So we put that in the book. Because sometimes, again, you may outnumber me, but if I can get you to believe in this religious thing that once you die, because you're going to have a terrible life here, so I'll convince you to look forward to death, but I need you to look forward to it as per this Bible. Because in this Bible, it talks about a curse on a man named Ham and Shem, and I'm going to sell you on that. So the reason you are the color you are is because that's what God wants. And if I can get you to believe in God, then I can get you to believe a multitude of nonsense and keep you pacified or docile because you don't want to go against God. That makes sense, brother?
The only way I can keep you in tune is to scare the living shit out of you. I just want to use that word. That's the only way that they can keep you tied in. Because if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, then you will not make it into heaven. But not one of them that so-called know the way to heaven are trying to get to heaven. Even though that's the best place to be, ain't nobody trying to get there.
I said everybody want heaven, nobody want dead.
Yeah. Nobody's trying to get there. And then again, they say that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. So if God is everywhere and omnipresent, why are we sitting back here waiting for him to come back again when he already here?
Because he's already here. Now, okay, he's already here, but he got to come back as man God, Jesus, because that's who's got to crack the sky and grab Enoch, and they're going to come home back.
Enoch was second to Jesus then.
I mean, you know what? Let me tell you something. If you really stop and think about it, yes, he was. Because watch this. Jesus died. Enoch never died. So God sent his son here, and his son died. But Enoch still walking around. I mean, that's what the scriptures say, correct? Am I right?
No, he's not walking around. Enoch walked into heaven. That's what he did.
Wait a minute. He never died, though, right?
Right. Yeah, he walked right into heaven in the body. He walked into heaven. Yes, that's how the story goes. Enoch walked into heaven. They couldn't find his body, so they just assumed he walked into heaven.
But Jesus couldn't do that, though.
Not only that, Jesus had to ask God, who is actually him, to prepare him a body. Why would Jesus, if Jesus and God are one, why did Jesus say, prepare me a body, and I'll go down and redeem mankind?
Now, watch
this is what
this.
Jesus
now,
told God.
Watch this. Now, I have to say this, and yes, I'm making light of it, but I'm serious, but I'm making light of it. Please, if somebody could answer this question for me, they'd make me a believer. Who in the Hades could have possibly recorded that conversation? Come on now. Who could have recorded that? God talking to God. That's like me having a thought to myself. Who could record that?
Then it was prophesied that the Savior would come through the lineage of David. It was prophesied that the Savior, the Messiah, would come through the lineage of David. So throughout 42 generations, then Jesus showed up on the scene from the lineage of David. How can that be? As my man Cat Williams would say, I'll wait. How can it be? Hello?
I don't have an answer. I'm here.
I don't either.
I don't know.
You can't tell me he was the Immaculate Conception. So the Immaculate Conception means his lineage was straight from God. It wasn't through Joseph, who the Bible says he didn't have relationships with Mary at the time.
But watch this, though. You know how they say if you feed them, they look like you? But no, what happened is, I guess if they live with you, everybody just take that. But let me tell you something, and just on that Immaculate Conception, if we get past the point of believing that, do you really believe? Now, again, unless God touched the mind of everybody in Jerusalem, Nazareth, wherever they live, to understand that this virgin had a baby not by her husband and we just going to accept you and you can live amongst us, that would make you, what, a whore or a prostitute, you know, or something of that nature, an unfit woman. But everybody just understood that. Now, again, if it's the Immaculate Conception, maybe Jesus went on out there and talked to them folks before that. But just think about that. You had a baby by a man that ain't your husband, and you just going to live amongst us? I don't think so.
Well, accordingly, Joseph was going to call off the wedding and all that stuff, but an angel came to him and told him, don't worry, God did it. Don't worry, it wasn't no other man. It was God that did it. So an angel came to him and told him that. So that tells me that Moses was in love with Mary. And I could have came and told him, and he would have been all right. Cause that's my wife. that's my woman, huh?
so
you know what I mean.
They would have been in the street throwing rocks at her. Probably still throwing rocks.
That's correct.
At her. Yeah, because that's what you did to people in those times. And again, if you think about it, so the universal message, the universal message is, unwed women, it's okay to have babies.
I've been saying that. That's what people got to understand. We're just following behind some tradition and stuff that people have told us, and we think that that's what it is. Remember about a couple messages ago, I spoke about marriage, how we put so much importance on marriage as if that's what it takes to please God. And so we're doing it because we think this is what God wants. God wants us to love ye one another. He didn't say marry anyone. He said love ye one another. And there is no purer love than sexual love. Spiritual energy exchange. That's what sex is.
One more time, brother, so I could go ahead and patent
spiritual
that.
Spiritual energy exchanged.
Okay.
Because when you are in that process, you and that person become as one. During that time, you're as one. Now, people have gotten to the point now where they just do it for just to be doing it and stuff, but it's still as one. Is there we're about out? Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to say, I'm going to have to do Uncle Roy on you real quick. Listen, we got a minute 30 seconds left, and I always want to give everybody a chance to say goodnight. Then we close out with Mama. Nurse Carmen?
Good night, my brother. Love you guys.
And as always, I'm always saying goodnight. Can't wait till the next time we get together. It's always a benefit to get with my brother and help share the word with you. Brother Messenger, go ahead and say your good night and then take us on home.
I just wanna say that this isn't my words. This is God trying to let us see that there is another way. I am not saying it's the only way, but there is another way, because we are free human beings created by God to be able to do the things that are pleasing to us, which eventually will be pleasing to Him.
Hey, and that's our podcast for this evening, everyone. Again, Haj to Haj podcast on Blog Talk Radio. We seek sponsors. We seek financial assistance as we grow this podcast. And again, we seek financial assistance through ways of sponsorship, et cetera, et cetera. Again, I want you to enjoy the ministry, and hopefully we can get you to open up just to think about some of the things that we're sharing with you. And if they make sense, think about them a little more. Hey, good night, everyone. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night, my brother.